Chapter 6, Micah, Wallace, Idaho, 11 December 2034, 2200 hours. The truck puttered along the I-90. The commune of Wallace was only a short distance away from the Conoco gas station. But the interstate was littered with derelict vehicles, debris, and improvised barricades. Jonah drove, while Micah watched for the path left by the previous crusade vehicles. Duke remained in the bed of the truck, keeping his rifle trained on the dense array of pine trees that flanked the interstate. Amongst the obstacles were bodies, heavily deformed by grievous gunshot wounds and shrapnel. Some were only pieces of people. The commune's militia, the first resistance Micah's platoon encountered on their inaugural mission. They had made short work of them, untrained farmers and miners with small caliber weapons. As their pickup drove by a small barricade, Micah stared into the curled mass of a body. A woman, her eyes locked open and glazed over, her mouth frozen in her final gasp. Almost half of her torso was missing, bored through and cavitated by a large caliber weapon. Micah fixated on the fatal wound. Small scavengers had already been nibbling at the viscera, but the ends of a shattered ribcage and shredded muscle were still visible. In his hands, he could still feel the drumming of the M2 50 caliber machine gun, as if the butterfly trigger and grip were still in his hands, shaking every nerve within him. Micah! Jonah tapped lightly on his comrade, pulling Micah from his macabre trance. Gazing at his fellow disciple's face, he could see that Jonah was experiencing a similar dread. "We're almost there." The boy spoke softly, as if he were scared to wake the dead. Jonah took the truck onto an exit. Micah could see lit fires and small house lights blinking in between the maze of pine trees. At a distance, he tried to imagine what the town would have been like before the fall. It was comforting, a safer idea to focus on for the moment. His reference for a pre-war America mostly came from TV shows and movies, old DVDs shared by his congregation. They showed an America he was disconnected from. He knew it wasn't exactly like those DVDs. He knew things had been much different from how they were portrayed. Sometimes, though, the curiosity would frustrate him, leaving him yearning for more knowledge of the America before the wasteland. Micah's education on the world before the dominion of Latter-day Saints was, at best, incomplete. He was born in 2019. His earliest memories were haunted by the specter of a pandemic. He had attempted, in vain, to have a normal childhood during a period of great unrest in his home city of Boise. His public schooling had stopped in the middle of the second grade, when the American Liberation Party had seized control of the city. He could still remember the day clearly. Imposing men from the Brotherhood of Wilderness Slaughter had brought the students and faculty to the auditorium. They wore armor and carried guns, but had been kind to the children. They proudly announced that a new school, built around godly values and the true path of patriotism that the Founding Fathers intended, would replace the current one. Micah's father had been amongst the militia. He was proud to be his father's son that day. In the following months, both of Micah's parents had been killed fighting the federal government's professional murderers, the U.S. Marines. Micah never got to see the bodies. There wasn't even a funeral. It never felt real. School never returned. Instead, he had been selected to become a disciple, along with dozens of other boys that had become orphans after the United States' attack, to honor their parents and to fulfill God's plan. Thinking about his parents was always difficult. Not because it hurt. It didn't bring him sadness or anger. Any time he had searched within him for feeling, he had only found emptiness. All of his sorrow had been burned out in those first few years, leaving only a void. A void that he was more than happy to let God fill. The truck rolled to a stop, meeting a checkpoint manned by three crusaders. Two young boys, disciples, were sharing a cigarette, laughing about some joke Micah couldn't hear. The mood didn't seem right. The third crusader casually approached Micah's side of the truck. He could see that he was older than the other two, at least by his rank. A polished, steel crucifix was pinned on his collar. A mismatched set of sergeant chevrons just below it. "Good evening, Brother Sergeant," Micah began, but was cut off by the crusader slapping the hood of the truck. "It's Brother Apostle. Apostle Luke." Luke leaned into the truck's cab. "I don't hold on to the worldly titles like your Sergeant Ezekiel." He spoke the word as if it stained his tongue to do so. Many of the crusaders held the holdover military ranks in contempt, instead preferring their anointed titles. It was the elders, the old men, who had served in the old U.S. military, that held on to their traditional ranks. Old men like Ezekiel. "Oh God, Ezekiel." Micah spoke involuntarily. Speaking his name caused a deep churn in his guts. Images of his butchered brothers broke through to the front of his mind. He began to sweat despite the winter evening chill. He could feel his heart thundering in his hands. "Damn right, Ezekiel," Luke spoke smugly. Micah respected the apostle's seniority, but every word Luke spoke felt like it was dipped in venom, especially his dead commander's name. "You already said you lost it when your platoon made contact with the militia." "What?" Micah asked reflexively. His question was answered by a swift punch to his nose, rocking his skull back against the headrest. "Would you like to try that again?" Luke pulled Micah's dazed and exhausted body out of the truck, hauling him out of the open window, his burly hands gripping his poorly fitted chest rig. "I knew Ezekiel was too worldly to keep you boys in line. You lack the Lord's discipline." Luke brought his hand up to strike again.
"Forgive me, Brother Apostle,"
Micah yelped. He didn't have the strength to rise. Even if he did, he would be struck down again for disrespect.
Did you say you heard from Brother Sergeant Ezekiel?"
Luke lowered his fist, but kept it clenched, menacingly close to Micah's face. "He radioed Pastor James earlier. He said you lost yourself to hallucinations after a firefight with the enemy." Micah groveled in the dirt.
"It's not true, Brother Apostle. 7th Platoon is gone!"
Micah desperately attempted to explain as a crowd of young disciples and apostles gathered. Working parties and sentries stopped to observe the scene.
Something came out of the forest and butchered them! Some kind of pagan monsters! We're in danger!"
"Of course they're gone, idiot!"
Luke shouted the boy down.
"Your brothers are still out in the forest hunting pagans, while you stick your face in the dirt like a spoiled child!"
Luke brought Micah's body up again, slamming him into the side of the truck.
"If it were up to me, we'd hang you up there with the infidels!"
Luke struck a wrathful arm out towards the gallows the Second Crusade had built earlier that day. Eerily lit by barrel fires, several bodies swung like wind chimes. The people of Wallace who had rejected the salvation that the Crusaders offered.
"Clearly, something demonic has entered your heart, boy!"
Luke's face was nose to nose with Micah. He could see the firebrand fury within the apostle.
"Ezekiel may have made you into a fine killer, but God has found your faith wanting!"
Luke let Micah down, sighing like a disappointed father. It took all the boy's strength to keep himself standing.
"All of that killing, absent of holy counsel, left your heart open to the arch enemy, Micah. The devil's poisoned you!"
Micah wanted to apologize. For what, he wasn't sure, but he felt lost in this moment. He had survived the forest, only to be seen as tainted by his brothers.
"Apostle, please,
I'll hear no more of your soiled words. The crusade minister has come to give you counsel, along with Pastor James."
The crusade minister was supposed to be overseeing the operations of the Second Boise Volunteer Crusade from his office in the Dome's executive sector, 400 miles away.
How, brother?
Micah couldn't keep his stutter from betraying his fear. Luke gave Micah one last glare of contempt. Our corporate sponsor has decided to review our progress into the Dark Zone. An executive team and the minister arrived by helicopter a few hours ago. They'll see you when they're ready. Until then, you'll make yourself useful with the corpse disposal detail. The knife was intent on impeding Micah's grim work. The old K-bar struggled to cut through the thick hemp rope. Almost 2 inches in diameter, the improvised hangman's noose frayed, but refused to separate. The tool was useless, the handle too large for him to grip with a single hand, his other busy steadying himself on a stepladder, the blade dull and chipped, tip broken into an ugly edge of jagged bare metal. It was the only tool he had been given after the rest of his kit had been stripped off of him. The penal squad he had been assigned to redistributed his gear amongst themselves, chuckling as Micah and the knife fought against the rope. He attempted to rock the blade back and forth in a sawing motion. The effort only succeeded in spinning the corpse around to face him. What used to be a young man regarded Micah with unflinching judgment, a single eye still wide with horror, and his mouth still fighting for air that never came. At one point, he may have been handsome, but the crows had already made a mess of his face. Strings of connective tissue splayed out from a ghastly eye socket and a shredded eyelid, strips of flesh torn from his soft complexion. However, what had Micah most transfixed wasn't the gruesome work of the carrion birds or the horrible death mask of a man's final breath, but the grisly sigil carved into the corpse's forehead. A single letter. A capital H. Homosexual. The flesh carving had remained untouched by the birds, as if God himself had wanted the whole world to know the man's sin. The creeping paralysis of terror began to fill Micah once again. Just like in the forest with the elk demon, his body became stone, refusing to obey his mind's commands. He couldn't turn away, and his eyes would not shut. The haunting visage slowly morphed into a face he couldn't remember. The silent scream of the dead man, deafening him as the vengeful spirit of the pagan witch possessed the corpse.
Hey, what's wrong, hero?
A laugh from below the gantry saved him from the trance. The motley crew of the corpse detail mocked as they chattered.
What's wrong, Micah? You like making bodies, but don't like having to clean them up?
Micah looked out across the gallows. 5 more corpses swung gently in the wind.
Brother, these weren't mine,
he pleaded, his stomach churning at the thought of having to cut down a half dozen of the bloated husks.
No, you're right, brother.
The ringleader, a 20-year-old named Peter, hauled himself up onto the gallows. He was strong and violent. Before the second volunteer crusade had set out, he had been selected to serve as an apostle under Platoon Sergeant Ezekiel. Pastor James placed him in the penance squads on the way to Wallace. After the Nez Perce Nation PMC arrested him for attempting to kidnap a young girl, it had cost the crusade time and resources to avoid an execution. He carried a machete he had taken off Micah's pack, hefting it in his hands, waving the blade towards a heap of human carcasses piled up like trash.
But those ones are, he grinned. I saw you gun those pigs down.
He cut the first corpse down with a single cleave. It hit the gantry with a morbid thud.
It was real cool, actually.
Peter swung the machete into the body and held his hands up to mimic the grip on an M2 machine gun, pressing his thumbs down on an imaginary butterfly trigger.
Doof, 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 doof.
His cheeks filled as he imitated the bassy report of the 50 caliber gun.
Knock it off, man,
Micah protested. Each time Peter's mimicry of the gun went off, Micah could feel the reverberation in his hands again.
Shut up, dude. It was cool as shit.
Peter swung the imaginary gun on a pintle mount, pointing it at the unruly members of the Penance Squad who were cackling like hyenas.
You wasted those fucking animals!
Peter laughed. Micah started towards him.
I said knock it off!
Micah tried to raise his exhausted voice. Peter barely acknowledged him.
Whatever, Shellshock. You got the glory. Let us have the fun. Doof, 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 doof.
The squad below acted out dramatic deaths, wailing and grunting, but still chortling and snorting. Micah gripped the busted knife in his fist, the tattered leather wrap biting back into his palm as his body surged forward. Charging behind Peter and his mocking machine gun, he turned, hearing Micah's footfalls. For a moment, Peter still held the pretend gun, an invisible barrel pointed directly at the smaller boy, his face turning from joy to fear as he realized Micah was thundering towards him. He reached for the machete. The weapon still jutted out from the cold corpse, but it wouldn't free itself. Micah put all his remaining strength into a furious tackle, toppling them both over the gantry and into the dirt. Peter was stronger and faster, laying into Micah's ribs with punches as the Penance Squad surrounded them to conceal the battle between the two boys. Micah fought through the pain, displacing it in his mind with the feeling of the blunt K-bar they had plunged into Peter's right lower abdomen. Micah wrenched the blade, trying to carve a trench into Peter's flesh. Peter screamed,
"He's fucking killing me!"
The squad pulled Micah off their leader, suffocating him in a flurry of stomping boots. Peter squealed and writhed. Micah curled up as tight as he could, concealing his vulnerable head in the storm of pummeling. A kick to the side of his forearm broke his protective hold free, and a second quickly met his temple, sending his head swirling, his ears rung, his eyes couldn't focus.
Corporate security, get back!
Someone was yelling. The beating slowly stopped, replaced by booming voices of authority.
Give me one reason, I'll ventilate you right now, freak! I said get back!
He rolled over, vomiting teeth, blood, and mucus. His eyes were swelling shut. His hearing muffled. An old man crouched over him. Platinum gray hair and a weathered face. Wearing clean tactical clothing, layered over a stark white shirt.
Is this him, James?
He eyed Micah like livestock. Pastor James's softer face came into view. A mask of concern.
Yes, sir. This is him.
The irritation in his face betrayed his perfected fatherly demeanor.
He seems to have fully succumbed to his possession.
The old man rose from his crouching position. His movements were smooth, calculated. They gave Micah the impression of a stalking mountain lion.
Don't you give me that shit, James.
He strode to Peter, eyeing him in the same way. Peter reached out to the old man.
Help me, sir.
Peter and the Penance Squad were separated by a fire team of soldiers in sophisticated armor, carrying new-made weapons.
Control, asset retrieval team. VIP is secure. Standing by.
Corporate PMCs. Micah had never seen them outside of the dome. The four well-fed soldiers circled Peter and the old man. They faced outward with their weapons ready. The old man ignored Peter.
I don't give a shit how you run your little daycare, but I can't debrief him if the kids beat him to death.
The old man put pressure around the wound, the ugly K-bar still sticking out from Peter's belly.
I'm sorry, sir.
James seemed to whimper. A crowd had formed, drawn by the screams and PMC troopers. Micah could barely make out their shapes. They kept a safe distance from the imposing corporate security troops. Somewhere, Apostle Luke was yelling at disciples to get back to their duties.
Don't bother apologizing.
The old man mercilessly tore the knife from Peter's gut.
I'm not the forgiving type.
Crimson sprayed out as he panicked, stumbling away in confusion as ichor flooded from his wound. The old man waved a soldier over. Micah's eyes were beginning to swell fully shut, but he could smell perfume. A warm fluid flushed over Micah's face. It took some of the pain away. A strong hand gripped Micah's, prying it open. The familiar, ruined leather wrap handle of the K-bar was pushed into his palms, slick with blood. The old man's voice was hushed, but filled Micah's ear.
Hold on to that.